Good morning, everyone. So today's Dvar Torah is dedicated in memory of my grandfather, Yisrael Yitzchak Ben Nachum. Today is his Yahrzeit. And my grandfather was really one of the most important influences of my life growing up. He and my grandmother used to go to Israel every 6 months. They almost made Aliyah. We're very, very big lovers of Israel. And my grandfather was also a very big learner. He used to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to learn before he went to work. He had a successful business. He escaped the Holocaust right before, but lost most of his family. And as such, really, his values, the values of my grandmother, left a tremendous impact upon myself, my whole family, and today's Dvar Torah is in his memory. So as we mentioned yesterday, we had said that Hagar becomes pregnant right away and Sarai does not. And therefore, in Hagar's eyes, Sarai is not as good as her because obviously God loves her more. God gave Hagar what she wanted immediately, whereas Sarai didn't get what she wanted. And therefore, in Hagar's eyes, God loves her more than Sarai. And Sarai becomes lightened, it says, in her eyes. And we had said that very often that's the way how we see the world in the realm of instant gratification. If I don't get what I want, therefore, I'm not loved. Therefore, there's something wrong with me. Therefore, the person who did get what they want, they're better, their tefillot are answered more. And we're told that that's not the way how the life works. We spoke about how all of the imahot, or at least three out of four, certainly were akarot, were women who dealt with fertility issues, and they had a struggle. Eventually, they got what they wanted. They got children, but they had to struggle terribly for it. And we see many examples of that, or certainly a number of examples of that in this week's parsha. We had spoken earlier in the week how Avram found God at a much earlier age, but for a long time he had to struggle to defend God's name, to advocate for the fact that there was only one God, and only when he was 75 does he finally hear God's voice reach out to him, acknowledging the fact that Avram has been his servant all of these years, even while not hearing the voice of his master. Until he's 75, he doesn't have that validation. We also mentioned the fact that although Sarai does not get pregnant in the beginning of the parsha, we see at the end of the parsha when Avram thinks, okay, I had my child, I had Ishmael, through Hagar, Hashem says, no, no, no. The best is yet to come. Sarah will have a baby. His name will be Yitzchak, which means joy and laughter, and all of your prayers and all of your struggles and all of your tears will be fulfilled through Yitzchak. It's just going to take a while to get there. We see that example. But most famously, what we really see and most obviously is we see the example of the Brit Bein HaBetzarim, which is the covenant of the parts, in which Avram takes different animals and he splits them in half. And we're told from there, with this covenant, something that we had to memorize when we were in school, which is Yadoa Teidah Ki Ger Yehyeh Zarecha. Hashem tells Avram, you know those children I'm telling you're going to have, the children that are not even born yet, they are going to be strangers in a land that's not their own. And they're going to have to work there and they're going to be afflicted there. But afterward, Hashem will judge that those other nations that afflicted them. And in the end, your people, your children, will leave with Rechush Gadol, with great material success and wealth. And it's very interesting because that's basically what we're seeing, that in effect, Avram is going to have children, but it's going to take a while to get there, and they're going to go through tremendous difficult times, but eventually things are going to be good. Now, it's very interesting how we see it, because Rashi has a very long Rashi that's greatly debated, and in the Torah, it tells us they're going to be afflicted for 400 years in a land that's not their own. Yet, according to Rashi, when it talks about the Jews in Egypt, which it seems that Brit HaBetzarim is talking about, according to Rashi there, they're only in Egypt for 210 years. So Rashi asks, so what does that mean that for 400 years they're going to be afflicted in a land that's not their own? They're not in Egypt for 400 years. If you look at the numbers of the people who came and the generations that were there, it's not possible that they were there for 400 years. So what exactly is this referring to? So Rashi actually says the 400 years start with the birth of Yitzchak. And from the birth of Yitzchak until the time that the Jews are ready to leave Egypt is 400 years. But that obviously raises a question. But it's saying that people will be, that Abraham's children will be afflicted and they'll go through difficult times. So how does that, when time Yitzchak is born, Yitzchak lives in Eretz Canaan. So what is this talking about? So if you look at the time of Avram, you look at the time of Yitzchak, you look at the time of Yaakov, although Avram lived a lot of his life in Eretz Canaan, Yitzchak lived all of his life in Eretz Canaan, and Yaakov lived a lot of the time outside Eretz Canaan, but some in, they did not have easy lives. They had very, very difficult lives. We see with Avram, who gets involved in the war between the four kings and the five kings, having nothing to do with him, but eventually he's brought in because Lot is taken captive. And Rav Soloveitchik says, so interesting, that so many times throughout history, Jews have been brought into world wars and have been affected by wars around them, which had nothing to do with them. You look at the Crusades, they had nothing to do with the Jews, except they ended up being one of the biggest victims of the Crusades. Most famous, obviously, you look at the Persian Gulf War in 1991, when Iraq invaded Kuwait, and the United States said to Iraq, get out of Kuwait. If not, we're going to attack you. And Iraq said, go ahead, attack us, and we'll attack Israel. And Israel's like, huh, what do we have to do with this? And yet that's exactly what happened. And we know 39 Scud missiles fell on Israel, on Tel Aviv, on Bnei Brak, even some close to Jerusalem. And thank God everybody, for the most part, was okay. But again, what do we have to do with this? And we see this in an example of Avram, this war of the four kings versus the five kings, which the Jewish people get involved in. But Avram had a difficult life, and Yitzchak also had a difficult life. Yitzchak lived in his own lands, in Eretz Canaan, and yet he was still treated badly. And we see this with the example with Avimelech, and we see this example with all the wells, and we're going to see this in next week's Parsha. And we see this as well with Yaakov. Yaakov perhaps had the most difficult life of all, both in the time that he spent in Eretz Canaan and the time he spent outside of Eretz Canaan. He had one difficulty after the next. And we know the Jews afterward do go down to Egypt. Eventually they come out with the wealth they accrued in Egypt, and eventually they go into Eretz Canaan and are able to reclaim their lands. But it wasn't that it was so life was peachy and then they went to Egypt and things were difficult. For all of these 400 years, as Rashi's saying, from the birth of Yitzchak and onward, and even before the birth of Yitzchak in truth, the Jewish people have suffered. It has always been difficult. But Hashem is telling Avram, things will be okay in the end. You're going to struggle. It's going to be difficult. But eventually, things will be okay. And that's what we're being told in this parasha. You have to look at the long-term view. You cannot just look at the short-term view. And this brings to mind something that I really want to share from the shiur that I heard from Michal Horowitz last week on Parsha Lech Lecha. And she quoted Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau was the youngest Holocaust survivor of Buchenwald. And he is the 38th generation of rabbis in his family, which is absolutely amazing. His parents were killed in the Holocaust, as were most of his siblings. And yet he survived the Holocaust. His brother Naftali brought him to Israel, and despite the fact that he was an orphan and that he lived in poverty and had such difficulty, he grew to become the Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel, a very celebrated chief rabbi of Israel. And if you have not read his book, Out of the Depths, you are missing out on a life-changing experience. Really such a beautiful, beautiful book. And every year, Rabbi Lau leads the March of the Living, or he serves as one of the rabbis on the March of the Living, which is the march that the lot of Jewish groups march from Auschwitz to Birkenau. And at the end, Rabbi Lau makes a speech. And I don't remember which year it was that Michal Horowitz quoted him from, but it was a beautiful idea that he shared that I would like to share with you all. He quoted from Yeshayahu, from the book of Isaiah. And in Yeshayahu, he says, as a word of comfort, that the Jewish people will come back to Eretz Israel like clouds or like doves. And Rabbi Lau offered a very novel interpretation. He said clouds, they get moved by the elements, right? The winds blow and therefore the clouds move. Clouds don't have their own choice. They are moved by nature. He said doves are birds. Doves fly on their own. They fly wherever they want to go. And he said that in his lifetime, he had to go to Eretz Yisrael, he had to go to Palestine at that time, as a cloud. That because of the winds of war that had really taken everything from him, that took his family, that took everything from him, that was why he ended up going to Eretz Yisrael. He needed a place to go, he had lost his home, he had lost everything, and that's why he went to Eretz Yisrael. He said, had there been no war, I probably would still be in Poland today and be a rabbi in the city where I had grown up. But because of the winds of war, like a cloud, we were forced by nature to go to Eretz Israel. And he said, that's how some people get to Israel. But others, he said, go like doves. They choose to go to Eretz Israel. And sometimes people look as a long-term situation. They're like, look, things are good. But he said, don't be like a cloud to get to Eretz Israel, where you have to go eventually. He said, eventually we're all going to be there. The question is, how are we going to get there? Are we going to get there like clouds? Are we going to get there like doves? And it makes me think of my grandfather, who tried so hard to get to Eretz Israel, who escaped Germany in 1938, really was planning to go to Israel, but he missed the boat and ended up going to America instead. Tried to make Aliyah when my mother was in eighth grade, and they had to cancel it. My aunt had polio, and they really had to stay behind because of her and for other reasons. But he didn't end up getting there. But if you look at the long-term plan, my sister made Aliyah this summer. God willing, our whole families, all of us in my family, would like to get to Israel at some point as well. And God willing, we should all be zocha. We should all merit to fulfill my grandfather's long-term dream. Just like Avraham, it was a long-term plan. Hopefully, we should be able to fulfill my grandfather's long-term dream of getting to Israel like doves and not like clouds. And I wish you all the same. Wishing everyone a beautiful Shabbos.